Turn with me this morning to the sixth chapter of Daniel. I love the prophet Daniel. Daniel was a phenomenal man. He received prophecy that still intrigues theologians and scholars today. I guess of all the prophecy of the Old Testament, Daniel is one of the greatest minor prophets that there is. He's the one who gave us prophecy concerning the coming kingdom. He saw visions and set things in order and got divine information and knowledge and understanding. In the ninth chapter of Daniel, we read where he was praying on one occasion and God would dispatch angels to show up at the conclusion of his prayers and give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Daniel was a phenomenal prophet. He's a young man when he was taken into Babylon. We know about the Babylonian captivity where Israel spent 70 years in one of the greatest empires that had ever been built, the empire of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian empire, and this kingdom was the world power at the time and had taken many of these young men that had skill and understanding and showed promise, and they took them and they tried to deprogram them. Actually, Daniel was set over three empires. He was raised to prominence and had great persuasion during the reign of the next two other empires in addition to the Babylonian Empire. He is a famous man. Most of us as young children, we went to Sunday school and we learned about Daniel and the lion's den. How many remember that growing up? Yeah, going Daniel in the lion's den. We remember reading about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his contemporaries that were also in Babylon during the time of Daniel. We know about them being thrown into the fire and how that they were preserved by the fourth man. Daniel, in this particular verse, these verses, he was being given preeminence. He was given a position of persuasion. He was given a position of prominence once again. What made Daniel so popular? What was it that made him so different than all the others that were taken into captivity, all the other Jews, or what made him such a special man of the Old Testament? Well, let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom." This is the sixth chapter of Daniel, verse 1. In verse 2 it says, "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princesses." Notice that he was preferred. He was set over all the other princesses and presidences. Because why? Why? Notice there in verse 3. "Because an excellent spirit was in him." An excellent spirit was in him. "And the king's thought to set him over the whole realm." Now I want us to pay close attention to this because I think it's fascinating when we start studying the story of Daniel. What gave him such preeminence in among the peers of princesses and presidents? The reason is that he had an excellent spirit in him. Now this is mentioned several times in the book of Daniel. You can go back into the fourth chapter of Daniel in verse 8. Actually, in that verse, it was noted that he had the spirit of the holy God in him. Now, this may not be important in our society, but I think it's important in the church that people possess the spirit of a holy God. Amen. And it's what made him stand out. It's the very thing that gave him a position of prominence. It was the very thing that gave him a position of persuasion. Not only there in verse 8 in the fourth chapter, but it also says in verse 9 that the reason he stood out above all the other special people that existed throughout the kingdom of Babylon was that he had the spirit of the holy God in him. See, Belshazzar, when he needed somebody to interpret the handwriting on the wall Who did he seek out? He sought somebody who had the Spirit of the Holy God in him. You know, our nation used to look to people who were spiritual for guidance. They used to look to people who had the Spirit of God in them for leadership and guidance. I don't know if you realize or not, but our Constitution and many of the liberties that we have in this country, they're the result of people who possess the Spirit of a Holy God. That's why we have them, these liberties today. And it scares me when we start looking to the world or philosophers or people that have the spirit of the devil in them rather than the Spirit of God in them for direction and leadership. That scares me. Amen. Listen, if you have trouble in your life, seek out somebody who has the Spirit of God in them. Amen. Ask them for counsel. Ask them for guidance. Seek out somebody who has searched the Word of God, knows the Word of God, has lived the Word of God, who complies with the Word of God, who lives their life according to God's holy word. Seek out that person for guidance and leadership. I'm amazed how many times we in our families, we seek out the world's advice concerning how to raise our family. That's wrong. Amen. We ought to seek out the spiritual influences. But this man was a hero. Daniel was a great hero. And of course, in these chapters, and this particular chapter is where he's thrown into the lion's den. People were jealous of him. The other presidents and the other people in power, the other politicians, they were envious of this Daniel who had great influence with the king. But notice in these verses, he had an excellent spirit in him. First of all, I believe that he believed that the spiritual things were the more important things. The spiritual things were the more important things. Amen. Look back into the first chapter of Daniel. Look in like verse 8. There in verse 8, when he first went into Babylon, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile his spirit. He realized that the most important part of his makeup was the spiritual part. Listen to me. The most important part of who you are is your soul. Amen. Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The most valuable and most important part of your makeup is your spiritual well-being. Amen. See, it's the spirit that lives on throughout eternity. It also is the part that needs to be saved. It's the part that God deals with. It's the part that the gospel strikes out at with a sword. It's the part that is slain. It's the part that's laid open. It's the part that's cut. It's the part that where the word of God is preached, is pierced to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the very joints and marrows. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart when the word of God lays your heart open, like Lydia's heart was open before God, and you realize that you're lost and in your sins and you need Jesus. You need to experience that. This thing is not a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. Salvation, the work of grace, eternal things, biblical things. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him with their spirits. That's what the Bible says. A lot of young preachers get that confused. They get to thinking that that's talking about the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. No, it's talking about in order to worship Jehovah God, you must engage your heart, your soul, your spirit, the inner core of you, the inner makeup of you. Every one of us that's been saved, we got saved by repenting and believing with all of our hearts. We didn't just do it with our bodies. We didn't do it with our minds. We didn't make some kind of physical commitment or mental commitment. We committed our very souls to the Lord. Amen. Amen. There must be that kind of surrenderance. In the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of Daniel, Daniel purposed in his heart. That's very important. It's important for each and every one of us to have a purpose statement. Yeah. The reason he was so prominent, the reason he had such persuasion over the kingdoms that he lived in is because he began his life with a purpose. He had a purpose. Not only that, but I think he also was a man of prayer. We know that in the 6th chapter, how that he turned his face toward Jerusalem. He would open his window. He would pray. He was a man of prayer. He had great favor with God. Now, I believe his purpose and his prayer life, it contributed to several things. There are principles that he had. There are understandings that he had. There are perceptions that he had. He understood what life was really about. He understood the important things regarding the Jews. He was concerned about those. He worried about those. We've got a lot of people worrying about a lot of things that really don't matter. But Daniel, he had a spiritual perception. He knew how to put first things first. Listen, we need to get back to that principle of putting first things first. We need to have a purpose. We need a purpose in our hearts and in our lives. This purpose statement is a very general statement, but it covered a broad spectrum of things. Let's notice this. Let's read in verse 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. See, he realized the most important thing was to stay close to God. He realized that if he sinned against God, that things in his life would be messed up. Listen, there's a lot of people that are messed up, and the reason they're messed up is because of sin. Amen. Their lives are in chaos. Their lives have been destroyed, and the destructive reason was sin. Listen, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there a lot longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. He purposed not to defile himself. He was in a very difficult circumstance. He was in an ungodly environment. He was in the midst of circumstances of ungodliness. But he purposed in his heart to stay clean, to stay pure. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself in the midst of all of this defilement. Listen, children, I hope you'll purpose in your heart. I know there's a lot of bad stuff at school. Come on now. There's a lot of sin in school. Any place sinners congregate, there's going to be a lot of sin there. But purpose, commit, purpose in your heart to keep yourself from being defiled by the sin that you're around. I believe all of us need to have a purpose. See, when we make a commitment prior to the circumstances developing, if we purpose, we have a purpose statement, we commit ourselves to the chiefest things, to the most important things. If we purpose in our heart, there's power that follows. There's ability that follows. He had a purpose statement. He had a reason why he was going to keep himself clean. He knew that there were things in his life that would come up in the future that would try to defile him. He knew that things would develop in his life that would try to get him off track. And I assure you, there are things that are going to happen in your life where the devil's going to try to get you away from God. There are going to be temptations, amen? There's going to be troubles. There's going to be trials. But you need to purpose in your heart to stay loyal to God. I wish that we would all go home today and we'd sit down, we'd write a purpose statement for our lives. We would sit down, we'd write a purpose statement for our family. Listen, if you want a Christian home, it doesn't come automatically. No, you got to commit to make it happen. You do. You got to commit to make it happen. He had and I think that's the secret to life. To be honest with you, I think that's the secret to life. I've told these young people over and over again at different events where I've had them collected together, especially the teenagers. I tell them, purpose to keep yourself clean. Yeah. Go ahead and have convictions and commitments that you're not going to drink, you're not going to do drugs. Amen? That you're not going to have premarital sex. I mean, I tell them to go ahead and purpose, commit yourself to do these things. Have that vision for yourself. See yourself pure when you go to bed that first night of your wedding. Amen? Amen. Yeah. What a wonderful gift to offer your mate. Huh? Don't let somebody steal that from you. See, I believe our God is a God of purpose. He is. You look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, where it talks about predestination, that he did that according to his purpose. He had decrees. He had purpose. He decreed and he purposed that everybody who would be in Christ Jesus, everybody who would repent of their sins and trust in Jesus with all of their heart, everybody that's in Christ and Christ in them would go to heaven. Amen. That's sealed. I mean, it's not only decreed, it is foreordained. Amen. Every person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is predestined to heaven. Amen. That cannot be altered. He purposed that before the foundation of the world. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. He purposed that before we were even in sin. He purposed that before the world was ever created. The Bible says that Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And I believe He is a God. God is a God of purpose. And I could go on with that. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But purposing in your heart, when you do that, half the victory's been won. I believe this works in the material realm as well as the spiritual realm. Right. I believe if people would purpose to work hard and, you know, try to make a living for themselves in this country, there's no reason why you can't. Amen. Yeah, if you just, you know, set your heart to it and your mind to it and be willing to do whatever comes available and work, you know, I believe God will help you. Amen? Amen. Yeah. But it begins with a purpose. What do you want for your life? What do you want? Are the spiritual things the most important things? Are they the most valuable things? You pleasing God and being in the center of His will, is that really your primary principal objective in life? Is that your purpose in life? To serve the Lord. To glorify the Lord. To praise the Lord. God knows. He knows our purpose statement. Amen. And I'll say this. You can usually know another person's purpose statement by just how they live their lives. You don't have to look very hard. He had purposed that he would not defile himself. Though all of these opportunities were before him, all of these things that would put him in jeopardy with his God that he served, Daniel didn't want his spiritual life put in jeopardy. I'm afraid too many times we have put our relationship and fellowship with God in jeopardy because we've not purposed to stay away from stuff. I hope all of you men and women have purpose to stay away from internet porn. I mean, it's all over the place. And you got to sit down and you got to make a commitment. I'm not going to look at it. Right? Our young people need to do that. It's coming over their phones, for goodness sakes. You guys do know about all the stuff out there, don't you? I think you do. He purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to let anything in this world destroy his relationship with the God he served. And we need to do the same. That's one of the reasons that the church doesn't have the influence that it used to have. I'll be honest with you. We've lost sight of our purpose statement, which is to please God, to serve God, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to try to live holy lives, to try to be righteous people, to be a peculiar people, to be a subject unto the Lord and surrender to Him, be submissive to Him. Daniel, he surrendered himself to the Lord, and no matter what the king threw at him, no matter what kind of dainties that were thrown at his life, he did not want to defile himself. He knew what was right and what was wrong, and he chose the right thing. I think our problem today is that we don't know the difference between right and wrong. We've lost sight of what's right and wrong, and we no longer have the discernment we once had. Well, I believe Daniel knew the important things of life. He found it. He named it, he announced it, and he stood by it. And you can find all that in the first chapter. It's important for us not to defile our lives. I'm going to say that again. It's important for us to stay clean. Amen? We are to live unspotted lives, not let the world get us dirty. That's just what the Bible says. Yeah. And if we will purpose to try to walk with the Lord and serve the Lord, half the victory's won. We got to try. Amen? You got a purpose. This is what I'm going to do. I want to be a servant of the Lord. That's what Paul did in Philippians. I read these verses from the third chapter of Philippians about how that he forsook everything to find the Lord, how he counted the previous things that were very important to him as dung. He forsook all of them. And as you go down in the third chapter of Philippians in verse 14, he said that he pressed toward a prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. People, we need to see out there our purpose, and we need to strive for it. We need to see that the Lord wants to do great and mighty things with us. He wants to raise us to a place of a prominence in this world. I believe the church is the most prominent, most important thing in the world. But listen, it doesn't, the acknowledgement that we need from the world, it does not come automatically. We have to earn that in the world. And the only way we can earn that in the world is by staying close to God, living for God, and letting the world see the light that's in us. They need to see it. They need to see the light that is in us. In the book of Timothy, when he concluded his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul got done with his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. When he got saved, he determined, he purposed, and he accomplished that purpose when he died. And I hope to be able to do the same. Don't you? Amen. Daniel was a man of purpose. He was not only a man of purpose, but he was a man of prayer. Daniel prayed. I mean, he prayed and he shut the mouth of lions. He prayed and he saw great and mighty things of the future. He prayed and understood the king's dreams and visions. He prayed and was given wisdom and knowledge and understanding. People, if there's ever been a time the church needs wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it's now. Now. We need a purpose not to defile ourselves. And secondly, we need to pray that God would give us understanding on how to handle all of the political aspects of this world, all the political trouble that's in this world. I believe there's a way. There's a way for us to handle it. And God will give us the wisdom. He will. We need the wisdom on how to reach the world with the gospel. Yeah. Yeah, we do. He purposed in his heart. Purposed in his heart. He prayed. Not only that, but he received the kind of understanding. He had a spirit of perception. You can read in how that, well, let's just read a few things. Let's look in like the second chapter of Daniel, verse 23. He says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, verse 23, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me how, what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Listen, if we ever think we're self-sufficient, we're in trouble. Daniel knew he needed God to answer him. He needed help. And God gave him. He actually, when he was began to try to understand the dream, he asked all of his friends to pray for him. Isn't it wonderful to have friends to pray for you? Yeah. When we realize that we are in need, and we're dependent upon God, and we trust in Him, and we pray to Him, He will give us the understanding we need. I believe that God wants to help us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I believe God wants to help us to live victorious lives. He wants to aid us and strengthen us. He wants to give us wisdom. There's wisdom in Jesus Christ. But we need a purpose in our hearts, and we need to pray, and then we'll receive the perceptions that we need to handle the circumstances upon the horizon. And through doing that, doing it God's way, we also will have have the influence that Daniel had. We'll have the persuasion. If there ever has been a time we need to be able to persuade people toward the truth, it's now. It's now. So Daniel was a man of purpose. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of perception because God gave him that wisdom and perception. And he was a man of powerful influence. That's what the church needs to be today. I would hope that you as a father, as a mother, as a church member, as a Christian, you'd want to be those things in your corner of the world. That you'd be influential. That you'd be able to persuade people toward the truth. Amen? You know, let them, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. You're around people all the time that are just, they're off in air. They're living for the devil. And you need to persuade them that Jesus is the way. And you need help in doing that. We can't set up a course where you can go through to persuade people that Jesus is the Savior. I tell you the kind of course we need to have. We need a course of purpose, a course of prayer, and a course of power, and a course of influence, where that we get wisdom from God on how to handle the circumstances that we're in. Amen. Divine wisdom. We need to be like Solomon. And we need to say, God, give me wisdom. Wisdom. People are going to go to hell if we don't get the wisdom we need. If you don't exercise some kind of influence over the people in your corner of the world, if you don't have some kind of persuasion over them, and you're the only Christian influence they have in their life, if you're not successful and victorious in it, they're going to die and go to hell. And you can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the church. If we don't do what all that we're supposed to do, I believe blood will be required at our hands. Amen? Let's purpose that we're going to serve God at work. Let's purpose we're going to serve God at home. Amen? There are things in our life we need to set aside and we need a purpose to do so. Maybe some things we need to destroy and get rid of. There are some things we need to purpose with respect to our being a husband. We need a purpose to be a good husband, a good wife. Children need a purpose to be good children. They need to obey their parents in the Lord. For this is right, right? That's what the Bible says. I mean, there's all of us, from the oldest to the youngest, we need to have these purpose statements with respect to every area of our life. But the principal thing, the most important thing, is that your soul is right in the presence of God. Amen. Is it this morning? It all begins with your soul. Amen. You know, Jesus told on numerous occasions that if the foundation was right, then the building would be okay. If you don't get the foundation right, you're in a heap of trouble. You know, this building will not stand when the storm comes. The foundation of your principle has to be God. Getting right with God. Right? And the only way you can get right with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a song. If there's somebody here, you need to be saved. You need to get your heart right. You want your purpose to be right. You want to be able to pray and have God answer you when you pray. The first thing you need to do is get saved. He hears his people when they pray. If you want to be of influence, of eternal influence, divine influence, I believe God's people have eternal influence. Daniel still influences us today. Yeah, from living right and doing right. He inspires us. He encourages us. He still testifies to us today. And if you want to have a lasting impression in the world, you need to get right with God. You need to pray always. Amen. And all prayer and supplication, looking to God to help you to be influential and leave a lasting impression on the next generation should the Lord tarry. God has a purpose for you, and you need to understand that purpose for your life. I mean, just get in the center of his will. You talk about the blessings of life. They are found in Christ Jesus. I mean, stuff just comes into your life. What a blessing it is, you know, to experience eternal blessings. from God.